So I'm going to have you go with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, and the title of the message is Open His Eyes That He May See. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to be picking up on verse 11, and let me give you a little background here before we look at this. So the king of Syria, okay, is at war with the king of Israel, and the king of Syria has a very powerful army, and what he's trying to do, he's continuously attempting to trap the king of Israel and his army and destroy it. But every time he goes to trap the king of Israel and his army, something is happening where the king of Israel is being warned and he moves his army to another location so the king of Syria can't defeat him. So the king of Syria calls his cabinet together and he says, basically, we have a traitor in our midst. We have somebody here who is a spy who apparently he's hearing our plans and then he's reporting it to the king of Israel. And at that point, the king of Syria is told that it's not a spy. It's a prophet named Elijah. And what God is doing is he's revealing the plans of the king of Syria to Elijah, who is then Elisha, who then is reporting it to the king of Israel and keeping the army of Israel safe. So that's right where we pick up here. So in verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So he's saying, which of you is a traitor? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, but, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. God sees everything. So he says in verse 13, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, okay, that's the servant of Elisha, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so he answered, he said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So I want you just to focus in the red letters. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And I think this is a time to be asking the Lord to open our eyes, because there is a much bigger picture of what is going on in the world than what we are merely seeing on the news or hearing through the media. There are deep spiritual things that are occurring that are behind the things that we are seeing on earth. So Heavenly Father, I do pray tonight, Lord God, Lord, teach us. We sit at your feet, Lord Jesus. We sit at your table tonight. And we pray, Lord God, open our eyes and teach us, Lord, what we must do, that we could see, Lord, beyond the realm of the earthly, Lord, into the heavenly, beyond the spiritual, into beyond the material, into the spiritual, and beyond the temporary, into, Lord God, the eternal. I pray, Lord God, that this is something and truly a gift. I think the body of Christ in this nation and in this world is in desperate need, Lord God, for spiritual vision in this day and in this time. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just simply endow, enhance, equip the body of Christ here tonight, Lord God, with vision to see beyond, Lord God, these temporary things into the truly the eternal things. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I will tell you just a quick story, and this was told by a missionary in Africa who was trying to reach this tribe, and he and his family were in their home, and This African tribe surrounded the camp, and you may have heard this before, and I don't even remember, he was a famous missionary, I don't remember his name, but they surrounded, we're getting some ringing here, they surrounded the camp, and were about to go in and kill the family, when suddenly the army, this tribal army, left. And a number of years later, the missionary, they led the chief to Christ. And he was sitting having dinner with him. And he asked him, why did you leave that night? And he said, you did not see. And he said, well, what did you see? He said, your entire camp was surrounded by these warriors of fire. Again, the missionary didn't even see that, but the chief saw it. Now, if you understand, like the scripture talks, it talks about three heavens. So the earth and the atmosphere around the earth being one heaven, the second heaven being the entire universe, the third heaven being heaven. But I want to the heavens where God dwells. But I want to share something. In science today, in quantum physics, they talk about there being 10 dimensions. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. So we live in a four-dimensional universe. So the spatial dimensions are very easy for us to grasp. So you have width, we can move from side to side. Okay? We have height, we can move up and down. And you have depth, we can move backwards and we can move forward. So we essentially are living in that material three-dimensional universe. We are certain there are three. A fourth dimension that we are certain of is time. And Einstein, really showed that time has almost a material component to it. And so time is the fourth dimension. Now, when you come to the scripture, and by the way, the scientists can't tell us what the other six dimensions are. When you study the scriptures, you will see, in effect, I've been able to identify in scripture that basically, and there, again, I think there are more, and we don't know if there are 10, there may be 9, there may be 27. But scripture seems to indicate that there are 9 dimensions. And that's at least as far as what I've been able to grasp in my studies. So another dimension, there is a dimension and a spiritual dimension of the angelic realm. And scripture teaches that in that angelic realm, there are battles that are going on. There are battles that are occurring in the angelic realm between the fallen angels of Satan, one-third of the angels fell, according to Revelation 12, and the angels of God. Now, I want to make a distinction here, and I'll show you this in a second. I don't believe that is where the throne of God is. So people say, oh, that's heaven. No, I don't believe that. I don't think God is sitting on his throne with wars going on around him. I believe that his throne is a place of shalom. It is a place of peace. It is a place of his glory, his majesty. But there is a spiritual realm. And I believe this realm, this spiritual realm, is right here. It's right here. It's raging around us. And I believe that when you're looking and you're seeing the things that are going on in our world right now, and not just the things in the United States, folks, there are things going on all around our world that I believe that have essentially spiritual causes that are essentially affecting, the material and the human world. Another dimension is hell, okay? Or what we would actually call in the Tanakh, and you see this in the Gospels, Sheol, sometimes called the grave, okay, or the place of death, but essentially Sheol has two components, two sides. Okay, there is the part of Sheol that we would associate as Hades, which is where a person is sent to who essentially has rejected the grace, the love, the salvation of God in Jesus Christ when they die. Then the other side, okay, of Sheol, let me just ask you, is what? What is it called? Does anybody know? The other side of Sheol, well, is paradise, or what is called Abraham's bosom. So when the thief was on the cross and Jesus, he put his faith in Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, he's recognizing Jesus as the king. Jesus looks at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Why didn't he say to him, today you will be with me in heaven? Because heaven had not been opened yet, because he had not died and he had not been raised from the dead. It was the resurrection of the dead. Now, if you understand the resurrection of the dead, he goes to paradise, reveals himself, and this is called Abraham's bosom in the book of Luke chapter 16. But Abraham's bosom, again, is where the Old Testament saints, where they were sent. And it was, again, it was a paradise. It was a glorious place. When Jesus was raised from the dead, it says he led captivity to freedom. And he went and he revealed himself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel and all the Old Testament saints and many others who came to believe that we were not named. And he would lead them into heaven. But now, in paradise, what's in paradise? Who's in paradise? No one. It's been vacated. Nobody goes to paradise anymore. Everybody's in heaven who is in paradise. So now when a believer dies, they don't go to paradise. Where do they go? They go to heaven. They go into that dimension. Another dimension, okay, which we know has been created, is what is called the lake of fire. The lake of fire is not hell. You look at the great white throne judgment, hell, Hades, okay, is cast into the lake of fire. So right now, who's in the lake of fire? No one. When the great white throne occurs at the end of the millennium, before really you go into the eternal picture of Revelation chapter 21 and 22, what you have is hell, okay, again, is cast in to the lake of fire. And that is, again, that is a total, complete, eternal damnation. Hell is as well. Total separation. Hell was made for who? It was made for Satan and his angels. It wasn't made for man. But it has become a place where, again, those who follow Satan and his fallen angels, they will end up there. And then another dimension is the very throne room of God. And I think that is the essentially the eternal heaven that, you know, that we will, you know, be partaking in and spending eternity in. And so I just described to you, if you're following, that's nine dimensions that the scriptures describe. By the way, if you're wondering, where does the scripture define height, length, width, and you can even look at breath, Ephesians 3, where I believe those first four dimensions are actually mentioned by Paul when he's talking about the, you know, that we would be able to grasp the height, width, depth, and breadth of the love of God. But those first four are there. But then again, there's another five. Now, there may be more. I'm not here, you know, at all saying that I've fully grasped everything in this revelation that God has given us. But I know there are definitely nine that are revealed to us in Scripture. Now, there are times in the Scriptures where you see that there are people, God's people, who are experiencing a revelation, and they're getting, again, a glimpse into that spiritual realm, just like we were looking at, you know, right here in the story of Elisha. So you think of a few of these scenarios. One is Jacob. When Jacob fell asleep at Bethel, he had this vision of this ladder with the angels descending and ascending upon that ladder. And I believe that he is getting a glimpse right here into the spiritual realm. A few chapters later, and this is, I think, one that people overlook, in chapter 32, the first two verses, when Jacob now is getting ready to meet Esau, and he's getting ready to have a wrestling match with God, he looks up and he sees an army. He says the army of God. He sees literally an army of angels out, you know, right there with him. And I believe there, for a reason, they were there to protect the people. They were there to protect Israel, and that is Jacob, his wives, and his kids. And you get a glimpse into that spiritual realm. A great, you know, glimpse is Isaiah chapter 6. And he is literally taken up, and this picture, he sees these angels, these cherubim, that are like as tall as buildings. And they're praising God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And he experiences this, you know, this magnificent vision. These are worth writing down and taking a look at. Another is Ezekiel chapter 1 and 2. And then again in Ezekiel chapter 10 and 11, Ezekiel has this vision of the throne of God. And he sees these angelic beings. And he sees these wheels intersecting wheels that are, you know what, I think... see if I get this. There it is. Okay, that better. And what he does is he sees the these wheels. And again, you start to think of this. Wheels into, what are people seeing? In fact, this is like another sign of the times. The scripture Jesus said, you will see strange signs in the heavens in the last days. Not only are there strange things going on earth. He says you're going to see these strange, some things will be so terrifying that people will be filled with this deep fear at what they're seeing. If you're following what's happening in the world right now, not only are all these signs happening on earth, there are signs that are happening in the heavens. You start to look, now the military, NASA, the Navy, all these pilots, all these air traffic controllers who were terrified to come out and say, hey, we have seen extraterrestrial, or what I believe are extra dimensionals. I'm not talking about little green men from Mars. I'm talking about these things that are described in Ezekiel. These are, I believe, again, the angelic realm is breaking in to the material realm in these last days. And look at and study Ezekiel, wheels intersecting wheels with eyes all around it. What does that sound like? Yeah, what they call flying saucers. Something that is connected with again, the angelic realm or the demonic realm. But there's a glimpse. He's getting a glimpse into, and this is, again, a picture of what Ezekiel is seeing. He's seeing these creatures, and then he's seeing these wheels that seem to be moving with them systematically. Another passage, Daniel chapter 10. Daniel gets a glimpse into the angelic realm, and he sees a battle going on between what he calls the Prince of Persia. The Prince of Persia being not a literal person, but some type of angelic being, in a sense, a territorial fallen angel. And this is something I think that we begin to grasp from Scripture. I believe that there are territorial angels, fallen angels, that are over certain areas of the world, certain governments, certain cities. Look at our cities right now. Where is the greatest amount of violence happening? You know, where is the greatest amount of sin? You know, we've always, you know, we said, you know, you can look at, you know, you can look at Los Angeles, or you can look at New York, or you can look at Las Vegas, you can look at New Orleans. But seeing things, I believe that these territorial angels with their demons are in certain places over cities. But you see this battle happening between God, again, his angelic messenger, who was actually held up for a time by this Prince of Persia. And he needed the help of Michael the archangel to break through to get the message to Daniel. And again, that is Daniel chapter 10. And then one other reference here in Paul in the New Testament, he says, I don't know how it happened, if it was, you know, I was in the body or out of the body, but he talks about being taken up to the third heaven. And what he says is, I saw things that I cannot even repeat. You know, something, by the way, interesting that you see, and Paul was just totally flawed. He could not put into words what he saw, and I think that's going to be our experience when we get to, you know, we get to heaven. We're going to see things, and our mind is going to be so blown. We're going to be so awed, so flawed, so filled with wonder. But what Daniel saw, he became ill. Daniel said he couldn't get out of bed. He became so ill by what God had revealed to him, because it was not something that was promising and encouraging, the message that came to him. So again, these are all, and there are many other places that you'll see Revelation, you'll see again these glimpses into the spiritual realm. So I want to just say, I believe it's important. I think, again, you can get so caught up in looking at things from merely the earthly or the temporary that you lose sight of what's really happening. And as Christians, I believe we are to be a people who have that vision. You know, Scripture says that when the Holy Spirit would come upon us, that we would dream dreams and see visions. And I don't believe this is, you know, this is something that should be rare. I believe that, again, vision, looking beyond the temporary to see what is going on in that eternal realm, to see and look beyond the material, to look at the spirit. So there's a few things here. I'm just going to give you a couple of practical things here. One is to pray. And just as Elisha does here, He prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And I think that is something that, we need to be praying, that the Lord will open our eyes. And I think if we are not truly seeking that, do you want to see the big picture? Would you like to have a panoramic view? Or again, just this myopic, you get this little myopic view, even from the true news, you're still only getting, the best, look at the people that report the news in truth. But most of them are not believers. And they're giving you news, and they're giving you a human perspective on what is happening in the world. And you're not getting, again, that spiritual perception. So here it's Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and the chariots of fire all around Elisha. I think when God opens your eyes, you're going to begin to see that there are a whole lot more dynamics happening. And there, again, in the midst of the material wars and battles and all these things that are going on, you're going to see that there is a spiritual battle that is going on above this. There's a spiritual battle going on for men's souls. There's a spiritual battle going on for their truth. What does Satan major in? Deception. He is the master of deception. He's the master of lies. So having the eyes to look beyond, again, the temporary into the eternal, I think that's something that should be something we are praying. And however God would reveal that to you through his word, through prayer, through other people, through his prophets, I think that is something that is important. Here's a second. Is focus. Because if you focus merely on, again, these temporary things, you will be blinded. If you focus just merely on the material, you will be blinded. You will not see, again, the spiritual. So there's numerous scriptures that are literally calling out to us that our focus needs to be on the spiritual realm. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. That could be, the sin of our blindness. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then notice verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. That can be translated, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But that is, I think that is the picture, to fix our eyes upon him. And again, getting ourselves focused on the spiritual, because if we are merely focused on the material, we will not see, we will not understand the big picture. And it's very easy to fall into deception with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, that's not easy, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that takes, really, that takes a level of discipline. It takes a level of strength. It really takes a level of fortitude, because it is just so easy to focus on the things that are temporary instead of focusing on the things that again, are eternal. Still your heart. Be still. Again, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I'll show you something here, and I've taught on this passage numerous times, especially through these last couple of years. And just as I'm meditating on the passage, going through and preparing this message last week, I'm looking at it, be still and know that I'm God. How do you do that? Because when there's so much distraction, and you've got so much distraction, there is so much chaos going on. There's so much confusion going on. And it's all around us. It's in the church. How do you still yourself and just simply, again, know that he is God? And sometimes these answers like are right in front of us. Look at what the second part of the passage says. I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. How do you get the air out of a cup? Just you fill it with something. Yeah, if I gave you a paper cup and you tried to suck the air out, you'd crush the cup. Okay, how do you get the air out of a cup? You fill it with, you know, you fill it with water, you fill it with a liquid. How do you get distractions out of your mind? Do you say, I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to think about that. It's something I do in when I'm doing seminars. I call it the pink elephant theory. Just try this. Close your eyes for a moment. And I don't want you to think about pink elephants. Come on, you have to close your eyes. Sue, close your eyes. I don't want you to think about pink elephants. Drive that thought of those big, fat, plump pink elephants out of your mind. You're not thinking about pink elephants. Do everything you can to not think about pink elephants. What are you thinking about? Right. You can't get a thought out of your mind. I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going to think that thought. And notice here, even if say, I'm going to be still. I'm going to be still. I'm going to be still. Notice what the second part of the passage is. I will be exalted amongst the nations. What happens when we begin to exalt God? You begin to exalt God, to magnify God, to praise God. You begin to worship God. You begin to pray, you know, to give thanks to the Lord. It's very easy. Now, guess what? The cup is filled, and you will find that you will have a stillness. Then trying to make yourself still, which is very, very difficult. By the way, I teach this. I've taught this to people in seminars and in conference calls and coaching for 20 years that essentially you, by trying to get something out of your mind, you will not get it out of your mind. I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going to focus on those things that are bothering me. I'm not going to focus on what that person has said. But as soon as you begin to fill yourself with something else, all of a sudden that disappears. So the stillness, I believe here, again, this is what we call a parallel passage. The stillness comes by truly exalting God. And when you are exalting God, you're going to find that you're going to have a stillness in knowing that he is God. And that brings, again, that brings that peace. The last point I want to make is believe. And I think you need to have a level of faith to believe in the spiritual realm, and that it's there. And I think to believe that, folks, it's not off somewhere. It's right here. Just like, I mean, look, I'll use this illustration. Introduce you to, you know, the flat people. So the flat people, Mr. and Mrs. Flat. I didn't put this into my message, but you have Mr. and Mrs. Flat. Mr. and Mrs. Flat live in a two-dimensional universe. Okay, all they can do is go, they can go, okay, to the right, and they can go to the left, and they can go up and down, okay? They can't move, okay, in essentially in depth. That's all they have. But if you're a three-dimensional person, okay, and you were standing behind me, right here, as Mr. Flat, I would not know you were there. But you have the ability, right? You have the ability to literally step right in to my realm and then to step out of my realm where I don't even know you're there. Do you understand that? Well, just, you know, again, imagine you get into the fifth dimension. We're moving out of the four dimensions that we are in. There are spiritual beings that, again, I believe are all around us. Jesus made that so clear. They're there to strengthen us, but they're also there to tempt us, to deceive us, to confuse us, to confound us, to oppress us, and for people who are not covered with the blood of the Lamb, to even demonize or possess. Okay, and there's really not a word possession in the scriptures, but it's demonization where they can get a certain control over a person. But they're right, they're here, and they're amongst us. I'll say this to you. I don't think they like what we're doing right now. You've ever been around, you know, if you're a, you know, you're a Christian person and you get around somebody who is just a I mean, a God hater, a godless person. And, you know, you're walking with the Lord and you're living in hope. Do they like being around you? No, of course you don't like being around them, but they don't like being around you. And I believe when we are praising God, when we're worshiping God, when we're exalting God, when we're praying together, when we're in his word, I don't think they like being around here. That doesn't mean they can't be here. Remember when David played the harp? Saul had a demonic being who was coming and tormenting him. And David played the harp. What happened? Where did the demon go? It left him. The praises of God would like, I believe that is something they do not want to be in that environment. Just like a very negative person will not want to be in the presence of a very positive person. Nor will a positive person want to be in the presence of a negative person. And it literally kind of wards them off. But I mean, you have to believe in these spiritual dimensions to be able, I think, again, to get a glimpse into, you know, what is happening. So in 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And you have to be walking in faith, I believe, to really be able to look beyond. You know, sight is just seeing the temporary. Faith looks into the eternal. Okay, sight just simply sees the material. And faith looks into the spiritual. And again, sight just simply sees the earthly. It's just the earthly picture. And faith looks into, again, the heavenly realm. You start to look at the world very differently. You start to look at, I think I view history very differently than a secular historian views it. And, you know, I see the workings of the devil and I see the workings of God all through history. And just, you know, the most versed part of history I am is in the past 100 years. But, you know, even like looking at everything that happened in the last 100 years with the rise of the Nazis and Hitler, the rise of communism, Marxism, and Stalinism under, you know, Stalin, Mao Zedong. You look at that. You see it very different. That they're essentially, these things were engineered. In fact, I'll say this to you, for some of you who, you know, you've got a little bit of an education in history, I believe you can follow essentially the engineering of what happened in the Soviet Union, in communist China, and in Nazi Germany. Okay, now there's smaller places, and still is happening in certain places, but you can follow it by the rise, and if you know, in the area of the mind or psychology, Freud. And then you can look at the philosophy of a guy named Hegel, Nietzsche, and the influence that that had. God is dead. If there is no God, there is no morals. If there is no God, there is no, you know, there is no moral law. Anything goes. And then you see the rise of these, I mean, literally, these demon-possessed people like Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong. And what do? They kill and they murder millions and millions. And I'm telling you, millions of people. Like, just heartlessly. And, you know, you look at that and you go, well, was that just the evil in the human heart? And I believe the human heart can be incredibly evil, but I think that there are spiritual things that are happening that are beyond what, again, what we see. And, again, I read history and, I hear me talking about, you know, biblical history and the seven-headed dragon and these seven empires that you read through the scripture. They're all demonically inspired. What was their purpose? What were they doing? They were there to destroy Israel and the church. And those are God's, essentially, those are his two entities. And the enemy wants to destroy them. So you view things very differently when you're walking by faith and not by sight, and it's strengthening. So just the wrap up here, I believe that when we look in and we begin to see, and I'm not even here saying you're going to see an army of angels, though I believe that's possible. But you will begin to look, and you will, with spiritual eyes, you will look beyond, again, the temporary and the material, and you will begin to see things from, again, a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective. And I think when that happens, it's going to enlarge your faith. Your faith is going to be enlarged. Another thing I believe that will happen, in a time, again, of great fear, you're going to have greater courage and strength. And just understanding that, you know, hey, you know what? God is aware of what's going on. There are things, God, you know, God is not on, you know, he's not on the throne asleep. He's active. His angels are active. There are battles being fought. And I believe that brings strength. And another thing that I think it brings the shalom of God. So I think sometimes we feel alone. And it brings the shalom of God, that realizing that, you know, we're not alone. And ultimately, the battle is the Lord's. So those are some things. I think, you know, just take time to pray that the Lord would open your eyes. You know, exalt him and just, you know, still yourself. Walk by faith, not by sight. And let the Lord give you that glimpse into the bigger picture of what's happening in our, you know, in our world. And I think the church needs that right now. So I listen to some people. I'm listening to some people online. I'm amazed at how, again, limited the vision is in church leaders in our land right now, right across the board. That they do not see what is happening. And I want to say this to you. I am very concerned of what's happening right now. And what it has the potential to bring into the lives, our lives, our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives. And I don't think, and let me say this, I don't think our political leaders, and I don't think many of our church leaders have a clue of how dangerous this hour is. And glory to God if he comes and raptures us out of here. But if he doesn't, and there's no guarantees to the century, some of the horrible things that his people have had to go through, and that really, really concerns me in this time that we're in. And I think that again, people having vision and being able to share that, prepare the body of Christ. We need to be preparing right now. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. I want to pray. People can keep watching, but are there things, do you have something on your heart that you would like me to pray for tonight? I'm going to lead in prayer here. So is there anything that's on your heart that's, you know, might be a personal thing, it might be something with your family, it could be something just, again, about what's going on. Yes. Praying for family members, for their, specifically for
unsaved family.
Unsaved, okay. Okay. How about we just pray for Ben's shalom, the shalom of God to fill his mind. I think we can pray that for a lot of people. Yes, Aaron. What did he have, Aaron? Okay.
Both of my grandparents are sick in Florida.
They are both?
They're both sick. I'm not sure, but they're both sick.
Mike, how is their health overall? Are they believers?
My grandmother is. My grandfather, I don't think so.
Okay. Isaiah.
For those who are being deceived.
Okay. for the strength. What's your name? Okay, Amber. Maria, you got to belt it out. Sorry. You know, you don't realize, you read people's lips, and I'm getting a little, the hearing is. Kim, help me.
The family in Venezuela.
Yes. You know, I pray for Venezuela daily. I pray that Maduro would go away. Faith. Okay. Thomas. Okay. Gerard. So you want them? You want to pray that they would be freed from that relationship and the healing of cancer. Those who are grieving right now. Miguel, can you interpret that for me? I'm not hearing it. Okay. For your health, why is, what's the matter with your health? Okay. Chris, say it really loud for me. Okay. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord God, I just want to ask all my brothers and sisters, let them just join together, Lord, in agreement as we just lift up these prayer requests to you in faith. And Father God, ask your blessing, Lord God. We want, Lord God, your blessing upon our hearts now, that we would just be praying your will in harmony with you, and that, Lord God, we would be seeking to accomplish your purpose and that these prayers would prevail with you tonight. I want to lift up, Lord, Francisco lifting up a prayer for his unsaved family members. And, Lord, we're going to lift up his family members right now that he has in his heart and mind. And, Lord, we're going to lift up all of our family members tonight who don't know you, Lord God. Right now, Lord Jesus, we're just right now bringing to your throne people that we love, mothers, fathers. We lift up Michael's dad. We're praying for the healing of his mom and dad physically, but Lord, his mom knows you. We're praying for his father's salvation, Lord, your grandfather's salvation. And praying, Lord Jesus, that you would draw his heart to you. Lift the blindness that the enemy has put over the eyes of unbelievers. And that, Lord God, you would reveal yourself to them. That the light would shine, Lord God, just a slight crack in the door called faith. And the white, powerful illuminating of light of God can just come through and illuminate that person's soul. And Lord God, that they would believe in you, put their faith in you, and come to salvation. So Lord God, we lift up, Lord God, the unsaved to you. I want to pray for Ben, and I pray, Lord God, just for your peace to be in his heart and mind, the shalom of God, Lord Jesus, that he would know he is loved. And I pray for all, Lord God, much anxiety and fear, Lord God, worry, anger, frustration, depression. I lift up people, Lord God, here tonight who are watching, and Lord, all those that we love, may the shalom of God fill their hearts. May they just be nurtured to allow that shalom to live in their hearts each day. I want to lift up Aaron's dad, Lord God, up in the hospital. I want to pray, Lord, the healing. He had this stent placed in. I want to pray for its success. I just want to pray for his healing, a blessing upon his mom, his entire family, Lord Jesus, and that, Father God, you would just touch him tonight with your, Lord, with your loving, healing hand. Lift up, Lord, this request from Isaiah, Lord, just deception. Lord, the devil is the master of deception. This is, Lord, he is the ruler of this world, and he blinds the eyes, Lord God, of people, and he deceives. I want to pray, Lord God, that there would be a desire for the truth. The truth hurts. Truth can be difficult. But, Lord God, that people, Lord God, that there would be a hunger for truth, no matter what the cost is. And that, Lord God, you would truly set the captives free through your truth and through your word. I pray that for this church, for churches throughout the land, Lord God, and for all people, Lord God. I want to pray for my sister, Lord God, just that you would strengthen her just, you know, continuously. Lord, yes, just remaining in prayer, in communion with you. It doesn't have to be, Lord, all the time intense prayer, but just walking in your presence, knowing that you're with her, that you love her, that, Lord God, you'll never leave her or forsake her, and that, Lord God, she can just walk in your presence each day and enjoy your presence in the warmth of just being in the presence of Yeshua, our Savior and our Lord. Grant her that, Lord God, and bless her. I want to pray, Lord God, just for our youth, Lord, here in our church, and a lot of them here sitting with us tonight, strengthen them. Lord God, my brother, Lord God, going through some physical challenges, I just pray, Lord God, for his healing. I pray, Lord, just the strengthening of the hearts of all of our youth. And these kids, Lord God, we sometimes don't think that they go through the same things we do, and they do, anxiety and fear and worry. And I pray, Lord God, for just your peace to be in their hearts and the calm that they would know, Lord God, that, Lord, you are in control. You are on the throne. And that, Lord God, their lives, their families, their moms and dads, their lives are in your hands. I pray, Lord God, for our sister and our brother and their families. Their families are in Venezuela. And, Lord, they're going through trying times there. We're going through trying times here. We pray for their families. You just provide for them, that you would meet their needs, and that you would pour out your grace, Lord God, upon them and strengthen them. When we pray for the nation of Venezuela, Lord God, a lot of oppression, people who have been in prison, people, Lord God, churches that are being persecuted. And I want to pray, Lord God, and lift up prayers for the people of Venezuela, Lord God, this day. And I lift up pastors, Lord God. I just truly pray, Lord God. You know, you've called us not to be puppets. You've called us to be prophets, to proclaim the caruso, the word of God, fearlessly, Lord God, powerfully. Lord God, with authority and without, Lord God, apology. I pray, Lord, for that, Lord God, so many puppets in the pulpits. I pray, Lord God, that you would just move amongst us. Raise up prophets. If you have to remove people, remove them. Let the churches die. That the true church would arise, Lord God. And Father, that there would be, again, men filled with your spirit who will proclaim the word without fear and without compromise. Want to lift up prayers, Lord God, for Gerard and his family. I want to pray for the salvation, Lord God, of his loved ones, Lord God. I want to lift up prayers, Lord God, for the YMCA, Lord God, and the situation, the CEO. Want to pray, Lord God, this relationship that Gerard described, we don't understand all that it is, but I pray, Lord God, that your will would be done. And I pray, Lord God, for there to be a healing of this person with cancer. And that, Lord God, we lift up right now, there are people on our hearts that are ill, that right now we would lift up to you and we would just ask in the name of Jesus to heal them of their sicknesses, Lord. Heal them. We pray, Lord God, for the healing of relationships, Lord God, that have been broken and, again, trying times. And that, Father God, you would move amongst us and, again, you would accomplish your good will, Lord God, in doing that. Want to lift up prayers, Lord God, just for a humbling, just the humbling of your people. There's a lot of things happening for that to happen. But that your people would be humbled, Lord God. They would be brought to their knees, that they would become dependent on you, that they would cast off their pride. And, Lord God, not be like the church of Laodicea, but, Lord God, they would be like that precious church of Smyrna, that, Lord God, was this humble church, but yet, Lord, you chose it out of millions of churches to mention them in your word. And, Father, we just pray that we would be humble, Lord God, as your people before you. And we lift up Israel to you, Lord God. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the shalom to be upon Israel. We pray, Lord God, the Jewish people. There are many who are coming to know you there, but there are many who don't know you. We pray for a city like Tel Aviv, which is as secular as New York. We pray for the salvation, Lord God, of those secular Jews in Tel Aviv. And we pray, Lord God, for the salvation, Lord Jesus, of the religious Jews, who, Lord God, are as religious as the Pharisees in your day, but still do not come to believe in Yeshua, the HaMashiach. And we pray, Lord God, tonight that, Lord Jesus, hear our prayers. Let it prevail with you that there will be Orthodox Jews and secular Jews saved tonight, Lord Jesus, because of the prayer that we're lifting up to you, Lord God. And we lift this up to you, Lord Jesus, and we pray. And then we pray, Lord God, for those grieving over the loss of loved ones, Father, people who have died of the virus. And I just want to pray, Lord God, of people who have died of other causes, people who, because of the virus, never got to the hospital and died of heart attacks. I think of a friend of mine, Lord God, Aaron, and his father who died of a heart attack, Lord, because he could not go to the hospital because of the virus. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for just the healing of Aaron's mother and Aaron and his wife, his brother, his sister, and many others, Lord God, right now that we can think of who are going through that grieving. And Father God, I just want to pray, Lord Jesus, just for all the chaos going on in this country. We know that there is the demonic behind it. And Father, riots, killings. I look at these little kids getting killed, Lord God, in Chicago and New York, and little precious little children who have never had a chance to live. I thank you, Lord God. I believe they're with you. And you've got, Lord, you're in it. But I know, Lord God, that is not your ultimate will, that these little ones would be gunned down in the streets, innocents being killed in the streets. So I'm praying, Lord God, Lord, just move. I don't know what you have to do. It's. I don't think anybody understands, Lord God, how to bring a cure to this. But, Lord God, you know. It's changing people's hearts. Let the bad guys go to jail. Lord God, protect, even tonight, protect, Lord God. Right now, there may be somebody out there who's going to go and shoot up a neighborhood. Protect those people. Change his heart. Confuse his plans. And help those people who are really trapped in these cities, Lord God. I want to pray, Lord God, for revival in America. We know, Lord God, that is the ultimate cure, and people's hearts would be changed by Jesus Christ. Pray for revival to come to this country. And Father God, I just pray, Lord God, that you would move mightily, Lord God, in our hearts. I see you doing something here, Lord God, just as more people are coming out. And Lord God, I just pray they would be coming out to worship, but they would be going into their closets daily and just interceding and praying and just making sure their hearts are right with you. So, Father, we thank you again. We thank you and praise you for this evening. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, for the time we've had together for your word. And, Lord God, we give you all the glory and all the honor. You're our Lord, you're our King, you're our everything. And we exalt you tonight. And we thank you, Lord God, for being with us and the privilege of us gathering here. We don't take it for granted ever. And we thank you in Jesus' name, amen.